Neil Levesque getting ready, putting the final touches on a big event tomorrow night for Chris Christie, jumping into this presidential race, former New Jersey governor and presidential candidate. I guess he's going to be the Trump verbal puncher. The Trump verbal puncher is the lane he, I guess, his path to victory. He's the one who can sort of fight verbally back toe-to-toe with Donald Trump. But take it away, Neil. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Happy Monday. Tuesday night, we have a town hall meeting here that the campaign is doing, and he's leaked that he's going to announce for president at that town hall meeting. So Chris Christie in the race, certainly somebody that is a pretty tough candidate, if you really want a pretty good perspective on it, not somebody who's a shrinking violet. And so it's going to be interesting to have him on the debate stage, I think, with Trump. Obviously, with the other candidates are out there, these are people that worked with Trump. He did debate prep with Donald Trump.
I know, yeah.
So it's a very, it's almost like it's all in the family, you know. So this is going to be a really strange cycle with what I think is sort of almost like an incumbent president running for re-election.
Let me ask you this, Neil. The lane that Chris Christie seems to want to adopt here, he's the one who can bash and hit Trump. You know, you gotta hit him back twice as hard and, you know, that kind of thing. But Chris Sununu's been sort of someone who wants to grab that rail if he were to run. And then Ron DeSantis, don't make the assumption he's not going to punch back. The two times I've had the Florida governor, now presidential candidate, on my show, Fox has done a national story, and what they picked up on was how DeSantis is punching back at Trump. I mean, last week when I asked him about Trump having fun with his last name, DeSantis, 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 DeSanctus, DeSanctimonious, DeSantis said it's juvenile conduct. And if he wasn't a juvenile, you know, if his conduct wasn't juvenile, he'd be in the White House right now. It's petty. I mean, DeSantis isn't going to take the punches much longer either.
Absolutely. So what do you got to do if you're a candidate? Well, you're looking at the fact that whether you believe polls or not, you got to sort of say, oh, my God, well, Trump, who's, again, almost like an incumbent, has this towering lead. Nothing seems to shake that, and you're a candidate. So the only variable right now seems to be time, which is a terrible variable in politics.
Well,
no one seems to be able to make a contrast with Trump that takes votes away from him and adds them to your own column.
Neil, let's go back to history that you and I both lived. Let's go back to 2016 with that crowded, crowded Republican field. Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, to name a few. Kasich. I mean, you had a packed field. Probably some would say the best field in a long time. There were about, 16 of them and a guy named Donald Trump. He mowed down that field. He nicknamed his opponents, called Marco Rubio, who was catching steam, Little Marco. He questioned Jeb Bush's energy. He went after everyone, right, Neil? And no one really knew how to handle Trump. Let's be honest. I remember it. I was there. No one really knew how to handle him. Now, Christie knows how to handle him. Sununu's not backing down if he runs. DeSantis. So what happens to this race now if there's 12 series, I'm being hypothetical, 10 to 12 major Republicans running, Neil, and they're all not afraid to go at Trump? They're all going at him. Not just one, because Trump has only been hitting one. Let's face it. He's only worried about DeSantis. He's been punching DeSantis every day. All of a sudden, it's like sports. You're getting hit now, not just from DeSantis, but, oh, Christie's hitting you. Nikki Haley's hitting you. Sununu, if he gets in, is hitting you. DeSantis is hitting you. All of a sudden, who does Trump try and punch everyone at the same time?
Well, I think the Republican State National Committee really changed some of the rules yesterday when they came out on Friday, I think it was, when they came out and said, if you're going to be on the debate stage, here's the criteria. So there's a debate in late August, and you have to have 40,000 individual donors.
Right.
And a lot of those donors have to be from every single state. So you have to have a wide breadth to be on a debate stage. And really, to be a competitor, I think, to some degree, you need to be on the debate stage. That is, Trump is even on that stage. And so that's going to cut down on how many people really are up there and could lend to the fact that these people can punch Trump all they want. For whatever reason, it doesn't seem to shrink his lead. He's solid as ice, you know, it's flat and solid and level, and nothing seems to change that. So if I was a candidate, or if I was advising a candidate, I would say, what do we do? What is the secret sauce here? And they haven't figured it out. And I'm sure that they're polling, they're doing focus groups, they're trying to figure out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
that can take some of these votes away from Trump, because right now we haven't seen any of that. And people like DeSantis are getting hammered. They're getting hammered here on television. You've seen the ads. The one with the little jingo is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing seems to shake that.
Mm. Democrat side, Neil, because everything's on there. All the attention's on the Republican side. You know, you, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., just in New Hampshire last week, you've seen the news. He's doing a little better than some Democrats want him to do, if you follow me. Joe Biden, the stumbles and bumbles are getting worse. I still think something's going to pop on the Democrat side. I don't know if you heard me earlier, but I said I think the DNC playbook, and I don't have privy, you know, it's like every week in the NFL, there's a different playbook based on the team, right, in the game. And I think the DNC playbook is Biden-Harris running again, they've announced. You avoid the early states because obviously Joe Biden is challenged to retail politics these days. He just physically and, you know, stage in life he is, let's face it. So you kind of anoint the ticket starting in South Carolina. You buy time and you hope Trump's the opponent. And if that's the case, they feel Biden could still beat him and then Biden could step down into his new term and you have the first female president. I mean, crazier things, that's not a very crazy theory, is it?
Well, I think that this is not 1944. And when a president is not 100%, people know it. And it gets out there really quick. We saw it the other day. He tripped on the stage. It didn't look good. He said he was okay. But, you know, at his age, when you fall, it's not good. And the optics are even worse. So I think every day that goes on, it gets worse and worse for Biden, where there's this big sort of wave sitting there out there saying, is this person going to be our nominee? Because if he is, we're going to lose to Donald Trump. And that's a big fear for Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gathering steam. But right now what they're doing is they're sitting back and saying, we don't want to challenge the president directly, because if he gets out, it's so much easier without getting the ire of the White House and the Democratic National Committee and everybody else.
Right.
We'll wait to see when he withdraws. Then we're getting in this race. That's why people like Gavin Newsom have created this pack and are ready to go.
Right. You know, Neil, real quickly, I had said this once in the Bill Clinton presidency, but then he kind of did the Clinton. He fought back because, let's face it, Bill Clinton was younger. He was an incredible speaker. And I remember at one point, with all the scandals and all this stuff going on, I said he is close to losing his connectivity, his connection with the American people. And then he fought to get it back. I guess my point is he never fully got it back, but he got it back enough. Right now, I think Joe Biden's biggest challenge is this. The other day, they agreed to the debt deal, correct?
Correct.
And the president spoke about it the other night on national TV. Anyone you know hear or moved by anything the president said when he's talking about this the other night on national, when he had his evening, you know, address to the nation on the debt deal? No. I didn't hear one peep. You know why? Even Democrats. Joe Biden speaks, they're not even listening anymore. And that's a scary thing for a president, because you know, Neil, even if you have your challengers and your adversaries, you need to have a connection. You need to have some connection with the American people when you communicate. Would you agree or not?
Absolutely. And the connection that he's lacking is the thing that Democrats like Jim Clyburn, the representative from South Carolina, who said that they're worried that if Biden were to compete in a state like New Hampshire, that he would get embarrassed. And they're embarrassed because they're worried because that connection does not exist. He's not a great communicator. He is no Bill Clinton. And so the more we see these stumbles on stage and the more we see the stumbles at the podium, the more that Democrats out there are going to say, we got to have somebody else.
I
think it's getting worse. It's not getting better. And I don't see that as a partisan thing.
No.
I think this is a problem for Democrats.
Look,
do not put the best team out on the field, you're not going to win.
Right. And you've said that consistently. It is a problem for Democrats because look at the numbers in the Democrat Party. And Neil, finally, you may focus domestic politically speaking, St. Anselm College Institute of Politics Executive Director Neil Ovett getting ready for tomorrow night's event. You may focus domestic, but what about foreign? You know the president, you know the leader of China, Putin, Tehran are all watching the optics with this president. You know they are. You know it. I know it. What do you think the message is to them? Do they think we have a stern, in-charge commander-in-chief or not?
Well, if they thought we had a strength position, they wouldn't have just about rammed one of our cruisers the other day.
In the Taiwan Strait.
Yeah. Flown in front of our spy planes the other day in international airspace. They're doing that because they know that something out there is weak. And that's just the way the world works. And
Well put.
And I think it's scary. It's a scary situation with Taiwan out there.
Well put. And after watching Putin go into Ukraine, China's saying, well, what's stopping us? All right, Neil Levesque, good luck tomorrow night. The Town Hall with Chris Christie. Thank you, Neil St. Anselm. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you, Jack.